This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
The Kakadu Plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hello and welcome to Savor, production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we're talking about ice cream trucks.
We are, which is a pretty frequent listener suggestion.
Yeah. Well, here you go. Finally.
Yes, finally. You ask and you shall eventually receive.
Eventually.
Yes, our list is quite long, but I personally don't have much experience with ice cream trucks. There was a period of time when I was the producer, the video producer for Stuff Mom Never Told You, and the filming was constantly, like, unbelievably frequently interrupted by an ice cream truck. And it
like the jingle over its loudspeakers?
Yeah, and it never stopped. could never figure out why it was back there, because it's not like we were filming in a pretty secluded area where there's mostly artists and business. Like, there's not a lot of kids out there, that is for sure. There's barely a road out there. But it happened enough that I did a mega cut video of outtakes of it and of the host, Kristen, getting increasingly more furious. I thought she was going to, like, confront the ice cream truck.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if that's still something she deals with. I should check in.
Oh, I do wonder. Huh.
I don't think I've ever actually bought something from an ice cream truck.
Oh, really?
Though. No. Huh. I really didn't like a lot of the stuff they had to offer. Like, it was fine, but it wasn't something I was super excited about. But when I was in elementary school, I did, like, on Fridays, we had, like, ice cream days.
Okay.
And every now and then, I would splurge and get the Snoopy bar, which was essentially just vanilla and chocolate ice cream on a stick. And I'm still uncertain of how it stayed on that stick, but...
The world may never
I
know.
I loved those. Yeah, it's a mystery. Mystery of current history.
How some of those quiescently frozen desserts are constructed would definitely be a subject for another day. I've purchased things from ice cream trucks a small handful of times in my life. I think mostly it would have happened when I was staying with my grandparents up in East Liverpool, Ohio, which now that I've done the research for this episode, I'm like, oh, that's like right near Youngstown. It's like a suburb of Youngstown. So that's coming up in the history section later. So maybe that's why ice cream trucks are more prevalent up there, like more, or I don't know. Like, I mean, you know, I don't know. I've lived in any number of neighborhoods that have had ice cream trucks come through. The kind of Doppler effect that you get on the music that they play really trips me out. I really don't like it. It's very creepy to me.
Oh, well, speaking of, the very first thing I thought of when we were doing this is ice cream trucks also kind of freak me out. And I think it's primarily because of the demon ice cream truck from Charmed, the television show, the 1990s version. And it really, really made an impact. Like, I watched that entire show multiple times.
Wow.
But there's only a handful of episodes that really stand out to me. And this one, for whatever reason, it did. And so it was this ice cream truck that lured demon children with a song called The Devil's Chord. And inside the ice cream truck was a pocket dimension called The Nothing, which manifested as a snowy, mostly empty playground.
Okay.
Yes. And The Nothing consumes and destroys everything it encounters, as you might imagine. The ice cream man is immortal, and they both of these things get an entry into the Book of Shadows, which is a big deal for anyone who's listened to that show. Actually, it's probably not, because I think everything gets an entry in the Book of Shadows. That's like the setup of that show. But
So when we were picking this topic, I was like, oh, like Annie like had like this big list of stuff, and I was like, oh, maybe ice cream trucks. And she goes, okay, but if you think I'm not talking about that Charmed episode, you are wrong. And I've never watched, I've watched like an episode of that show in my entire life. So I was like, I want you to, and thank you for doing so.
Thank you for letting me. I tell you, I still think about this probably at least once a month of that ice cream truck episode. I don't know why. I don't know. I do remember as a kid, I think I must have grown up in like that era of, you know, Stranger Danger. I don't think it was weird like that you would hear this music, go up to a strange van and essentially take candy from a stranger, like buy it. And I know you're essentially doing the same thing when you buy from a store. It just felt odd to me. Like there's this siren song luring you out. And I think that thought just really connected that Charmed episode. I was like, see?
Oh, yeah. There is something kind of like goblin markety about the entire thing, isn't there?
Yeah.
In other 90s horror
shows,
comedy television news, in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Xander has a job as an ice cream truck driver for a while.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I think it was in season 4, like right after they graduate, Xander's picking up all of these odd jobs, and that's one that he has for a while. I don't think Anya entirely understands it. That's what I remember of it anyway.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. I do have one very excellent memory of ice cream trucks, though, and that is when two of my dear friends, Amy and Mark, were getting married. They were having like a little backyard wedding, and it was kind of casual, and it was you know, beautiful and nice and hydrangeas and this whole thing. But since it was, you know, in a residential backyard, at one point in the middle of this lovely afternoon wedding, we hear the ice cream truck jingle, and like, all of a sudden, like, the entire wedding party, like, stops what they're doing and runs out to the front, and, like, everyone gets ice cream bars. And it was really sweet.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah. They had some really good, like, Marvel-themed bars, too. and they're nerds, so it was good.
Yeah, I do like those. I appreciate those. We have done an episode on the Ice Cream Sundae, which was a very goofy one, but very fun. Mm-hmm. We got to read a lot of intense legal documents about the Ice Cream Sundae. And we've done one on ice, which actually does play into a lot of this, and milkshakes, but correct me if I'm wrong, we haven't done ice cream, have we?
No, not that I'm personally aware of.
It's possible.
Anything could have happened. Yeah, yeah. No, that's, I think that's one that I keep going, like, not today. Like, that's too much.
It is a lot. It very much is. One day, but not
one day. Not today.
No, today we are talking about a different thing. And that brings us to our question.
Mm-hmm.
Ice cream trucks. What are they?
Well, an ice cream truck is a motor vehicle fitted with a refrigeration unit so that it can keep frozen treats, like ice cream, frozen. The driver might make multiple stops around neighborhoods or places with foot traffic to find potential customers, or might be flagged down by pedestrians to purchase said frozen treats. The products are often individually wrapped and industrially produced, but they can also include any number of things. Soft serve pumps or hand dipping stations, you know, any. I read some things about some ice cream nachos.
Oh, I've had ice cream nachos.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds amazing. But yeah, the trucks, as we have been saying, often project music over a loudspeaker sound system to alert potential customers to their presence. Actual trucks and vans and minibuses are all used, many specially fitted with windows so that the driver can serve the treats without, like, leaving the truck. Slide the window open, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the trucks are owned by a central company, and the drivers are, like, independent contractors who just, like, go pick up a truck on days that they choose to work. Other times, the truck owners are franchisees. It all depends.
I bet the truck franchisees, like, if it's parked out in your driveway, I bet some kids come around, ask like, some questions.
Hey. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I bet.
Mm-hmm. Cut me a deal. What about the nutrition?
Don't eat trucks. Don't.
I feel like this is the second time we've told people not to eat something that is inedible.
good reminder. Don't eat trucks or vans or minibuses. Don't do it.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some sort of like superhero. I mean, did the Hulk ever take a bite out of
like a car? I mean, at the very least, he probably like bit one and then like shook it like a dog.
Yeah. Know? And then spit it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So unless you've got that going on, just avoid.
I'd say even then, even then, Bruce Banner, if you are listening to this, yes. Dr. Banner, you know, I would say don't. Probably don't.
This message is for the Hulk. And Bruce Banner, we're just looking out for you.
We are.
Physicist who
probably knows. Dental health is really important to your overall health. And I'm just trying to keep those chompers, whole and clean.
Mm-hmm. It's really
a
service.
As little tire rubber as possible.
Yeah. Avoid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Avoid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're just trying to help. Just trying to help. We do have some numbers for you. Mr. Softy has about 700 trucks in 15 states operated by 400 franchisees.
And I found it hard to find other numbers on how many ice cream trucks are out there. I looked. Maybe I was mis-Googling. I feel like I do that sometimes.
Yeah. I've mis-Googled before.
Yeah, yeah.
It does sound like some people kind of don't really report that they have them, which we're going to talk about more in the history bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is really interesting. You would think it would be pretty readily available information.
Right. Yeah. Well, okay. But so anyway, yeah. According to drivers who spoke with our buddies over at Mental Floss, sales of ice cream from ice cream trucks actually goes down when it's super hot outside because people aren't hanging around outside.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. They say that the perfect temperature is 75 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, that is a lovely temperature.
I agree in general. Yes.
Yes.
There is a Guinness record for the largest parade of ice cream trucks. That is from 2018 in the UK, in which 84 vans participated in an ice cream van parade.
Ice cream van parade.
Yeah. Yeah. The ice cream van is the term over there. That's used more often than ice cream truck.
I just find that very funny. I mean, Were they hanging out? Were they selling ice cream?
I'm not entirely sure. I saw that it happened, and I think that they were all in one place for like an ice cream truck convention, like an industry convention to talk about like, you know, technology and I don't know, like,
sure,
you know, trade secrets, whatever it is. The record for the longest stint as an ice cream truck driver is 67 years, held by one Alan Gans of Massachusetts. And he says that he met his wife at an ice cream parlor back in the day.
Oh,
that's so sweet.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we have a lot of history for you.
Gosh, we do. But first, we've got a quick break for a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico. We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip together.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport too. Is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And I wanted to start this one with a shout out to John Dickey's article for Smithsonian from July 2020 called How the Ice Cream Truck Made Summer Cool for being just so helpful in putting together this one. So,
yeah. Really good piece. Go check it out. Great work.
Absolutely. So for a long time, due to the difficulty of procuring ice, the lack of refrigeration and expensive ingredients, ice cream was mostly relegated to the rich. That began to change in the 1800s when the ice industry really took off. Again, you can see our ice episode, which I have very fond memories of because it gave us the excuse to look up Arnold Schwarzenegger's best / worst puns as Mr. Freeze. Remember that? We spent like 20 minutes on that.
Oh, gosh, we did. That was I think that was one of those ad breaks that we actually took in the studio and we were just looking up these lines.
I had not seen it at the time. And,
right.
Oh, I've seen it now. Everyone was like, these puns, you need to hear them. And I agree. So I have fond memories of it. Unfortunately, it didn't make it into the episode, but you can look them up yourself. They're pretty good.
You can. You can.
Yes. All right. So at the same time that as the ice industry is taking off, there were innovations like hand crank ice cream makers. For those that couldn't afford those, there was another option, buying ice cream products from pushcart vendors, primarily operated by immigrants. According to Mental Floss, ice cream, these treats, were associated with Independence Day by the 1830s in the United States. So these carts were cheaper to operate than a brick and mortar and more able to fly under the radar when it came to health standards. Mm-hmm. They sold treats like Hokey Pokey, the Hokey Pokey, which was a bite-sized Neapolitan wrapped in paper, and something else called a Pennylick. This was basically a substitute for ice cream cones, which didn't exist yet. Customers would get their ice cream in a glass, which they then licked clean right there, returned to the vendor, who dipped it in a pail of water, and then used the same glass for the next customer.
Yep.
The Pennylick. One of the most beloved and popular treats was the ice cream sandwich, a treat that broke down social barriers in a lot of ways. There were a lot of articles written about this. The rich and poor, people of all classes would purchase these treats and eat them outside alongside each other.
Well, yeah. And by this point, these carts were often equipped with noisemakers to get people's attention. Chimes and bells and clockwork music boxes, sometimes coin-operated, so the kids would have a little extra thing to do. And so that kind of plinky music box kind of simple melody, like often songs from nursery rhymes or other tunes that kids would know, became associated with ice cream from this very early time.
And if we look at the history of the ice cream truck, in particular, it is something of a legend. Mm-hmm. The story often starts with Harry Burt Sr., who was a confectioner in Youngstown, Ohio. In 1920, he was testing one of his new innovations, a slab of vanilla ice cream encased in a layer of chocolate, by having his kids taste it. The consensus from his daughter Ruth was, it's good, but it's too messy to eat. And in response, his son Henry Burt Jr. offered, why not put it on a stick? Problem solved. That's all you got to do. I mean.
So the legend goes.
It goes. Mm-hmm. And this was a logical suggestion from Burt Jr. because his father had already created a hard candy lollipop on a stick that he dubbed the Jolly Boy. Ice cream on a stick hadn't really been done before, though. So when he put his ice cream on a wooden stick, he ended up with two U.S. patents for the process. And this led to his invention, the Good Humor Bar, which in turn led to a rivalry for the ages with the previously developed, like right along the same time, ice cream bar. Ice cream.
Okay, not ice cream. Ice cream. Okay, yes. Got you. Cool.
Yeah. Ooh.
Ooh?
Halloween-themed ice cream truck. Oh, okay. I'll think about that later.
Okay.
Burt Sr.'s innovations didn't stop there. After seeing the booms in fast food and automobiles that was happening in the U.S. at the time, he invested in 12 refrigerated trucks. He was one of the first ice cream vendors to move from pushcarts to motorized vehicles. This allowed him to expand his business because now his salesmen could cover more ground more quickly. And it's also spawned numerous imitators and was very impactful on the American eating landscape, in part kickstarting the food truck. It was part of that, at least. And and summer eating in particular here, how we thought about that in the United States. So the Good Humor truck design was a white refrigeration-capable pickup truck with the Good Humor logo on the side, and it was equipped with bells to announce their arrival. And this design was finalized in the late 1920s.
Nostalgia for very particular types of bells and chimes and music box tunes was already firmly in place at this point. So the first trucks would have kept those old familiar things going.
Yes, and these trucks were a step up from the pushcart in numerous ways. One of the big ones was safety. The refrigeration technology was far better than the pushcarts, thus allowing for a better quality and safer product. Ice cream sold from pushcarts had been linked to several cases of food poisoning. The Confectioner's Journal cited this concern in 1887 when someone wrote that they were products from them were apt to be adulterated with ingredients which sacrifice health to cheapness.
Yeah. All of this was all coming up during the time when refrigeration technology was improving to the point where it could be mobile and financially accessible. And also when simultaneously all of these like deep food safety concerns and movements surrounding the industrialization of food were really coming to a head.
Yeah, and Good Humor had a strategy to combat those concerns, those health and safety concerns, particularly when it came to wary parents. Remind people of hospital orderlies. That's why the drivers, they wore these all-white uniforms, complete with white caps that they were required to tip when they sold things to female customers. And yes, until 1967, the drivers were all men. Yeah.
You know, that is a... I guess I never put that together, that that's totally what those uniforms look like.
Yeah, they look super crisp. Like, if you saw that out of context in a horror movie, you'd be like, okay, I've been watching too many horror movies. I'm sorry.
but no. Whenever you see, like a crisp white shirt in a certain type of thing, you're scenario, like, oh, there's going to be a blood pack pretty
right,
soon.
Right. But hospitals in general are not horror movies, just in this particular context. It is very, yeah, super white, super crisp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. I like interesting marketing move.
Oh, absolutely.
You want to sell ice cream? Remind people of hospitals. Go. What? All right.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Seemed to have worked.
And meanwhile, business during this time, not up into the 60s, but more in the, 20s, might have been boosted by Prohibition, as some former brewers were turning to create ice cream during the time.
Yes, and all of this together was a very successful venture to the tune of 14 million sales just out of New York and Chicago by 1932. And a driver could make $100 in commissions a week, which is the modern equivalent of $1,800.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, and this was during the Great Depression.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Huh.
The trucks and their drivers often became parts of neighborhoods, of their communities. There was no passenger side door on these trucks, so the drivers would often get out and open the refrigeration unit in the back, speaking to the crowd that had gathered, excited about getting their treats drawn out by the bells. The neighbors would talk and laugh together, maybe even meet for the first time. It was something people looked forward to, where get-togethers, neighborhood get-togethers and parties and sleepovers for children were planned, friendships formed. I read a lot of really, I keep saying sweet, but it's true. sweet articles about this, about people who have these memories and made these friendships around the ice cream truck.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah. And this was actually a part of the Good Humor strategy to deal with those concerns around safety and health while also increasing sales. Because by following the same route, establishing routine and familiarity and this expectation among children, something to look forward to, it helped build their customer base.
Sure.
Yes. And there are a lot of stories about sort of this dedication, almost like mythical status of the ice cream man. And again, according to Mental Floss, when a New York Good Humor driver switched up his route, 500 children signed a petition for him to switch it back.
What? Oh my heck. Wow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I mean, that's some power right there.
That is.
Mm-hmm.
Good for those kids. Yeah.
They came together for the ice cream truck.
They did.
Yes. Important causes. A fleet of 2,000 trucks roamed the country by the 1950s, and they did make most of their sales to children under 12. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. And 1961, Unilever purchased Good Humor. After competitor Mr. Softy debuted step vans that eliminated the need to get out of the vehicle. So like you said earlier, Lauren, the driver could just step into the back, into the freezer unit, slide open a window and sell products from there. It was easier. Good Humor adopted that setup soon after and started retiring their trucks. The Mr. Softy truck, the step van, was the idea of William and James Conway out of Philadelphia. And at the time, soft serve was really popular, and they wanted to bring that popularity to the streets. And they did on St. Patrick's Day, 1956, handing out green-colored soft serve. However, the trucks and machines weren't without their issues, getting overheated, shutting down. But through a handful of experiments, they improved the design and functionality. It only took 2 years for them to start franchising. That's how successful they were. Wow. Yeah. Not only that, in 1960, they hired an advertising company to write them a jingle called Mr. Softy, parentheses, jingle and chimes.
Speaking of those jingles and chimes, meanwhile, the Nichols Electronics Company started up in Minnesota in 1957. They are, I believe, to this day in the United States anyway, the biggest makers of electronic music boxes for ice cream trucks.
Oh. Well, it turns out that these vans weren't free of health issues. So the company was slapped with 244, Good Humor, charges of manipulating records to cover up high levels of coliform bacteria in their products in New York City in 1975.
Oh,
That's a lot. Yeah. The indictment alleged that of the products sold between 1972 and 1975, 10% of them weren't up to code. And they specifically called out the production facility in Queens, reporting that it was, quote, not securely protected from dirt, dust, insects, and parts thereof, and from all injurious contamination.
Yeah.
This resulted in a fine to the company of $85,000, and they were required to tighten quality control and modernize all their facilities. Perhaps because of this, Good Humor was out of the ice cream truck van business by 1980, pivoting instead to focus on grocery store sales. However, some of the drivers didn't get this memo, or they just ignored it, and continued to go on their routes with their Good Humor vans.
What?
Yes. One such person who did this was Joseph Villardi out of White Plains, New York. He'd been doing his route since the 50s, and in 1976, he purchased the truck from Good Humor. He was such an important and adored part of the community that when he died in 2012, the town celebrated Good Humor Joe Day on August 6th, 2012.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Meanwhile, back to the music part, those electronic music players and chime systems for ice cream trucks were developing fast. By 1986, there was a machine called the Harmony 16 that offered three-note harmonies, very fancy, and a choice of 150 tunes.
Woo!
Right? And yeah, the creators of these kind of things were just really savvy about that, like, nostalgic plinky music box sound and tried to replicate it.
Yeah. And ice cream truck innovation continues. You've got trucks selling gourmet flavors. I read about an ice cream karaoke truck combo.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I want a popsicle and some karaoke in a van outside of my house. Neighbors don't want that.
No. The closest I got to that was, what an embarrassing time for me. It was middle school, and you could get a free, I don't even remember what it is, so I shouldn't have done it, but it was some, like, free prize from one of those booths at Six Flags.
Okay.
And the way you got it was you had to sing karaoke on the stage in front of everybody, and I sang Vanessa Carlton's 1,000 Miles. And I butchered it, and it was awful.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. That's, hey.
But I did get the prize, even if I can't remember what it was. I think the embarrassment of that memory has blocked out anything that came after.
Any positive?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Anyway, learn from my mistakes, kids.
If you're going to sing karaoke on a stage in front of a lot of people, make sure it's for a really worthwhile free prize.
Yes. Yes. Because was it really free? My dignity was sacrificed.
Oh, no. But yes, ice cream trucks these days do all kinds of wacky stuff. Yeah, there's... I saw things about savory-flavored ice cream from these trucks. Yeah, milkshakes, hand-dipped cones, slushes, sodas, shaved ice, shave ice.
Mm-hmm.
Difference.
Mm-hmm.
Vegan options, booze, boozy options.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, where is that like ice cream truck?
Not in my face right now, and that's very sad. In 2017, I discovered, as I was probably misgoogling things, a horror film called The Ice Cream Truck came out. And from what I understand from the trailer, it appears that the storyline features a local neighborhood ice cream truck driver who is a murderer.
Not the truck, the driver.
Not the truck, the dude, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The driver,
okay.
Yeah. But they make really good use of that crisp white uniform.
Oh, see.
Blood splatter.
Yeah. Amazon Prime has been pushing this movie at me for years.
Really?
And I have not watched it. But, and a part of me is offended and the other part of me is like, yeah, you're right. You know me. The algorithm knows what's up.
Yeah. The trailer does look awful. And like the Google Play reviews are kind of full of these people going like, how do I get a refund?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
But I will say that the poster art is beautiful. It's this big ice cream cone with pink ice cream. And the pink ice cream is filled with these screaming faces and a skull and like a hand with a knife, like made out of ice cream. It's...
It is pretty spectacular.
It's really, I think it's really lovely. And I hope that everyone who is involved with creating it is having a nice time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In 2019, Nissan debuted an electric ice cream van in collaboration with this family-owned Scottish dairy called Mackey's of Scotland. Because apparently there's been some like kerfuffle over diesel-powered ice cream vans over in the UK and the pollution that they cause in municipalities around there. Because in order to keep those freezer units cold, the trucks often sit with the engine idling during stops. And so there's this concern. They've even been banned in a few places. So, yeah,
Wow.
Electric vehicles, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And speaking of kerfuffle, there's been some of that over ice cream trucks continuing to operate during the pandemic shutdown.
Yeah.
Like Mr. Softy, like low-key asked its drivers to discontinue service. But since they're franchisees, like corporate couldn't really stop them. Like they do what they want.
Mm. Yeah. They do what they want.
Yes, like Loki, Mr. Softy franchisees do what they want.
I mean, Mr. Softy, now that you mention it, also does sound like a villain superhero universe. So,
yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like the cigarette smoking man or something. Mr. Softy.
Oh, Mr. Softy.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it. And this brings us...
Yeah, probably a lot of you were waiting when this would come up. So warning for a lot of historical racism here. Okay, so as of August 2020, RZA of the Wu-Tang Clan partnered with Good Humor to write a new ice cream truck jingle to replace one of the most used jingles called Turkey in a Straw. This song goes back to 1916, and it also goes back to one of the most racist songs in American history. By some accounts, the most racist song. The title, the original title is so racist, I am not going to say it. It's horrifically offensive. It's like stomach-churning racist.
Yep.
The song's tune was almost identical to a well-known 19th century song called Turkey in the Straw, which in itself came from an older British song called The Old Rose Tree, the lyrics of which were adapted by Scottish and Irish immigrants settling along the Appalachian Trail. However, the song didn't really cement itself in the minds of most Americans until they heard it as a part of traveling blackface minstrel shows. By the 1820s, the tune had been co-opted by these shows with super racist lyrics. Zippity-doo-dah, eventually derived from all of this as well. These minstrel songs were frequently played in ice cream shops, and when ice cream trucks took off, their radios played them too.
Yeah.
And you've probably heard this. It all went viral with an article written by Theodore R. Johnson III for NPR called Recall the Ice Cream Truck Song? We Have Unpleasant News for You in 2014.
Yeah, that was the first time I had heard of it. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
And it was, I think it was in the midst of like just lots of other stuff going on. And I was like, really? Like, yeah. Ice cream trucks too?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, that terribly tainted piece of music is now being withdrawn from the repertoire of these music boxes that companies like Nichols sell to ice cream trucks for use, which is really great. I'm absolutely so delighted that RZA teamed up with Good Humor to produce a new one.
Yes, and I really dig it. I think it's great.
No, it's really good. It's really good. I was like late to this recording. I was telling Annie and Andrew that, yeah, like, because I was just watching so many interviews with RZA talking about ice cream trucks.
Yeah, and he shared like his experiences with them growing up and being so excited as a kid.
Yeah,
so definitely check those out and check the song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it does incorporate that same, like, music box kind of sound. So so it's really cool.
Yep. So that's about what we have to say on ice cream trucks. I feel like we've gone through a wild adventure here.
We do have some listener mail for you. But first, we've got one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico. We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that. Mm-hmm. And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a saver team trip together.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport too. Is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with Listener. It's hard to make Plinky Music Box sound while you're saying something.
Yeah, and it's hard to synchronize that with someone over an internet delayed Skype chat. But I got what you were doing.
Will live on, just like my karaoke performance.
Perfect.
I was trying to with my fingers communicate, but it's just hard sometimes.
I'm not that musically inclined, so I don't. I've like never taken like direction from
from a conductor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I should incorporate. I mean, it's pretty simple. I could teach you, and then I'll incorporate that, and these will elevate even more.
I'm sure elevate is exactly the word.
Yes. Yes, it is. Brittany wrote, I chuckled when I saw that you were doing an episode on Kool-Aid because my partner was just telling me about a conspiracy theory video he saw about the Kool-Aid Man. Since the Kool-Aid Man is canonically part of the Marvel Universe, someone actually went through and tallied up all his powers based on the commercials and video games to rank him in comparison to other Marvel characters. Apparently, the Kool-Aid Man is powerful on the level of Thanos. I thought Annie might be interested in the Kool-Aid Man's potential as an Avenger or Marvel villain. Yes, I am.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Oh, I love this. And I also love how many of you have sent in Cthulhu art.
Yes. Whether
you found it or made it on your own, it's amazing. It is.
Oh.
You all are so talented.
Yes, all of it is so good, so good. And yeah, just on Twitter today, we got a D&D monster that someone wrote up. That's the Kool-Aid Man.
Oh, cool.
yeah. And also, yeah, just like a little piece of art questioning whether the Kool-Aid Man is the jug. Or the Kool-Aid.
You know, that really threw me, I gotta admit. it kind of disturbed me more than I was expecting.
Yeah.
We just have so many unanswered questions here.
We do. And there's just, you know, I don't know if there's an appropriate expert in this to turn to. I think this is one of those questions that you have to answer for yourself.
Oh, no. I can't go down that rabbit hole. I'll never come out. I have to find a new host. What happened to Annie? She went down the Kool-Aid rabbit hole. No!
She's still thinking about Kool-Aid.
Is it the jug or the pitcher? I don't know. I have like one of my conspiracy like thread boards.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That is not what I need right now.
No, nobody. I suspect nobody needs that. Okay. Come away with me.
Okay.
Because Brooke wrote, as a Southerner, I had to pause the strawberry episode to laugh and wonder how the heck Lauren was able to say the term for strawberry fragrance, ferraniol, without hearing in a thick Southern drawl, ferrani, y'all.
That's my new cheers that I want in my life.
Franny, y'all.
And I'll be like, are you talking about the strawberry fragrance or me? Ugh. It'd be a real winner.
every time. Yeah. Brooke also said, as one D&D fantasy loving nerd to another, thank you so much for all the hard work.
Thank you for listening.
Yes. Thank you.
I'm so glad our nerdy tangents resonate with some people at least.
Yeah. Well, I strongly suspect that anyone for whom they do not resonate has either chosen to just like be bemused about them and not comment, or yes, has shown themselves the podcast door.
It's all good. We have wonderful listeners right here with us now. Yes, yes. Thanks to both of them for writing. If you'd like to write to us, you can, and we would love to hear from you. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
And we are also on social media. You can find us on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram @SaverPod in all three places, and we would love to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL Schedule Release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule-release to learn more.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com, that's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.